Okay, so this is a Chazara Shir Ezer Hashem for Rabbi Simon's two Shirim on Nikar HaIsser, which is packet 3 in the Taroves series. I'm not sure what Shir number it was, but Rabbi Simon sent two Shirim on it. We'll see if we can get the highlights in one. Okay, so the first thing is that what is Nikar HaIsser? When we have a Taroves, we have, let's say, Isser falls into Heter, right? Or let's say it's a Yavish B'Yavish, I have three hamburgers, right? One is treif, two are kosher. So I would say Bittul Berov. But that's only if you can't identify which is the treif one. If you can identify what the treif one is, that's not a taroves. Just take the treif one away. It's clear what the treif one is. It looks like pig, so that's not a taroves. It's not mixed. You know, just remove it. That's the concept of Nikar HaIsser. Okay? So the first thing regarding Nikar Isser, I want to mention, again, it's a little bit different order than it was presented in Shir, but is the halacha of Nikar Isser, is this a din d'araisa or a din d'rabbanan? Okay? So there is a Gemara in Sukkah and Daftes, which talks about a Sukkah under a tree, and we know a Sukkah can't be under a tree. So the Gemara, cut to the chase, talks about bending some of the attached branches down onto the Skach, which has Kosher Skach on it. So they have a mixture of Skach Kosel and Skach Kosher. And Rashi says that, Rashi explains the Gemara talking about Bittul Berov this way, because you have Rov Schach Kosher, and a meat of the Schach, of the covering on the Sukkah, is from the attached tree. So it should be Bittul Berov in the tree, on the Schach. The attached part of the Schach, which is Pasul, should be Bittul Berov on the Schach Kosher, and therefore it should be Kosher. That's how the Gemara says, Rashi explains the Gemara there. So the question that's asked on that is that can't you identify, if you look at it, can't you see? Can't you see which is the kosher schach, which is the bent over tree? What kind of bittul berov is that? It's clear, it's identifiable. Which is which? So, yeah.
Are you actually taking the pasul
schach? Yeah, and now, boom, bittul berov. Right. Bittul berov, okay?
So it's not nicker, but it looks similar.
You know, but I think the assumption that many have is that it is nicker. I mean, look. You can see some are detached and some are still attached to a tree. So how could you apply Bittul Berov? So the Taz in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Sukkah there, in Tav Resh Lamed Beis, he quotes the Levush. The Levush says from He says, Nikar Isser is a din d'rabbanan. Even if you can identify it, and it's clear, it's still me d'araisa b'altal b'rov, like Sanhedrin. I clearly know which Dayan passes, you know, which way, and yet we say that the rov wins, even though it's identifiable. Must be, says the Levush, that Nikar HaIsser is a din d'rabbanan. The fact that if it's identifiable, that there's no bittul, no rov, that's a din d'rabbanan, and by sukkah, we're just going to keep it on the d'araisa. Okay, so that's why by sukkah it'll be kosher, because we're not going to employ this din d'rabbanan that Nikar HaIsser is going to undo the taroves. Okay, that's. And he says, look, right from Sanhedrin, we go after the rov, right? Rov Dayanim. Even though I know that Dayan Ruvin is the one who says that his chayiv, and Dayan Shimon and Levi say he's butter, but apple pecan, even though I could identify, we say that dime is bottle in the other two. So says the Levush, you see that because you see that on a deraisa level, we're going to go after Rov, even though I could identify which is the, you know, I could identify who's what. I can identify who's the chayiv, who's the butter. So just extrapolate from that to regular old, you know, we learn from there, Bittul Berov, so Levush wants to claim that we will still employ Bittul Berov, even though I could clearly identify, in this case, what's the Kosher Schach and what is the Pasul Schach. The Taz goes, you know, he's very strong against Levush on this. It's Chas V'Shalom to say such a thing, Chas V'Shalom, Avada Nikar HaIsser is a din d'araisa. If it's clear and identifiable, there's no taroves. And you can't say that it's batal even on a deraisa level. That's not tenable, says the Taz. Okay, the din of sukkah, that's a schach din, that if you have a certain amount of schach pasul, it's, you know, it doesn't count. Fine, but that's not a bifaldin, it's a schaftin, and he's very animated, I guess. He says, chas v'shalom, to say such a thing, that nikar issa should be in the din rabbanon. Of course, nikar issa is a din deraisa. Okay? So, let's go with that mahalach right now, that nikar issa is a din deraisa, that if you see, let's say in a taroves, you actually identify what the trefon is, so then that's not a taroves, because it's just take it out. Right? Assuming it's easy to take out. Okay? So now, assuming that we have this concept of nikar ha'isr, okay, then if something is clear, you have to take it out, and there's no tarovas, let's push the envelope. What is considered nikar? What level of heker is considered nikar? And that's what we'll bring a couple of cases in this packet to show. So, the Ramah in Sadi Ches, so he quotes two things. Number one is pretty straightforward and obvious. Tray piece of chicken falls into my pot, so then you got to take the tray chicken out. Okay, you know what it is, and you have to take it out. That's clear nikar iser, clearly identifiable. Remove it. Okay, that's Ramah Shulchan Aruch Tzadi Ches Sif Dalet. But then the Ramah says another thing. He says, and therefore, if let's say I have a piece of chilav tray fat that falls into a pot of, let's say, soup. Okay, so now it gets it gets disintegrated, it dissolves in the soup, and you can't see it now. But I could do something to make it visible. What could I do? I could pour cold water in it. Or, I guess in our terms, we say put it in the fridge, right? When we cool it down, you know what happens? Take chicken soup out of the fridge, right? You have that whole layer of fat on top, right? So cool it down, pour the cold water in, whatever it is, and then skim the fat off. Yeah. Okay, but I mean,
presumably some of it is still mixed in. But okay. Is it the whole idea is that at that point it's not nikar anymore?
Right. Well, you could either say to your question, you could either say one of two: either they're assuming you get all of it out, or you're getting enough of it out
that it becomes shishim.
And well, we'll talk about shishim in a second. But then whatever doesn't come out is not nikar.
Okay.
Right. Whatever you can get out, that's what he says is nikar. Whatever is not will just be batel. But even though I have shishim, I still need to take out the treif. So whatever I can take out, that's considered nikar. I don't see it now, but I could do something to make it nikar. I could pour the cold water in, put it in the fridge. I could cool it down to cause the treif fat to come to the top, and therefore I could skim it off. The Ramah says, therefore you have to do that. Because that's still considered to be nikar ha'isr. Okay? That's what the Ramah says. Now the Ramah's lashon is that tzarech litein, you have to put, tzarech litein, you need to put the cold water in. So you have to be down on that lashon of tzarech litein. How much of a necessity is it to do this? You read the Ramah, it makes it sound like you have to do it. However, what's the makor for this Ramah? The makor for this Ramah is the Mordechai. And the Mordechai quotes this din, Rishem Harokeach. And that's how it's quoted. So that's what the Ramah got it from. He just recorded the Ramah. That he quoted the Rokeach as the Mordechai quotes him. However, Rabbi Solomon pointed out that if you look at the earlier Makoros for the Talmidei HaRokeach himself, it's not so clear that that's what the Rokeach meant. The Sefer HaSufos, which is the Talmud HaRokeach, when he quotes the sin, he says that they were Anshei Maisa, super, pious people that would do this practice. They would pour the water in and, cause the fat to rise to the top. Which seems to imply that it's not something which is real nikar ha'isr. This is a chumrah, a meritorious practice that the anshei maisa, people who are very exactly in halacha would do. Likewise, the Ravan quotes it that it's a mitzvah lahasiru. It's a mitzvah to do this shtick by pouring the cold water in and getting the fat to rise to the top. It's a mitzvah, which are all, those lashonos aren't tzarech. Those lashonos are more like things which we would encourage you to do, but not tzarech. So either you could say that, the Ramah got it from the Mordechai, and that's how he writes it. You could say that tzarech is lavdafko, or the Ramah is just quoting it, but here you see that one view of Nikar HaIsser, the Ramah Kosi has to do it, and really, if you look at the Makoros, maybe it's not like a real Nikar HaIsser, it's like a one less level of Nikar HaIsser. You can do it to make it Nikar. Okay? So, reading the Pashas Ramah makes it sound like this is considered Nikar HaIsser, Mamish. Other Makoros may say, it's not exactly Nikar HaIsser, but it's something we would like you to do. Okay, regarding this issue of pouring the cold water in, which the Rama quotes, so when does that then apply? Okay, when does that then apply? So for sure, let's say it falls into shishim, right? So if it has shishim, so then it's batel, but it's nikar iser, so you do this thing and you take it and you skim it off and you're good to go. What about if I don't have shishim? What if I don't have shishim? It falls in, I don't have shishim. Can I pour the cold water in and get the fat out and then say it's mutter or not? That's a machlokas. Okay? What?
You have more or less than shishim.
I have my tafshil, my chicken soup, it is less than shishim and 60 times the amount of fat that fell in. Okay? So it's not bottle. I'm going to have tam fat in there. Okay? So, let's say I do this thing. I pour the cold water in, and I skim off the fat. Can it work? Can it help me now? Could this be a kula now? Right now, the chicken soup, which was aser, now I'm going to make mutter. I didn't have shishim, and now I can now eat the chicken soup because I took all the treif out. Do we say that? Do we not say that? That's a machlokes between the Bach and the Shach. The Bach quotes the shita of the Isra Heter and against the Shach. So what is that about? So the Bach says, quotes the Shita, that it's mutter. If you pour the cold water in, even though the fat was, there was more fat than 60 times the chicken soup, meaning you didn't have a bittel berov, it's still mutter. Okay? And the Shach screams and says, no way, great, you took the fat out, but there's still tam chilev in the chicken soup. Still tam chilev. So you didn't take the tam out, and the tam's not batel b'shishim. So the Shach says this din of taking the fat out is only a chumrah. It only applies when you already have shishim against the Bach. Okay, what is the svar for the Bach now? How could the Bach answer up for that Shach? So it's almost implicit in the words of the Bach, but the Imre Baruch spells it out, as the other Rachmanim spell it out as well. Reb Moshe has a svar like this. Aruch HaShulchan has a svar like this. And that there is a big difference between the tam of a yavesh and a tam of a lach. Okay? The tam of a yavesh gives tam from itself. It's yavesh and it gives its tam, while as opposed to lach, the tam and the mamish is the same thing. Let me give an example. I take a pot of hot water and I put a boiling pot of water, I throw a piece of chicken in it. Chicken's a devar yavesh. It's a piece of chicken. What's going to happen to that soup? It's going to turn into chicken soup, right? Now, I'll boil that chicken soup for a while. I'll take the piece of chicken out. I have the chicken in my hand. I removed it, but I still have chicken soup. Because there's tam chicken in the chicken soup, in the water. And now I have chicken soup. For most foods, we'll assume, you know, different foods give their own tam for different amounts. So some will give 20, 30, 40, 50. By the time shishim comes, we assume that that's a good barometer, that most foods will only give tam of themselves up to shishim. But it gives tam, right? More potent foods will give more. So that's a yavesh giving tam. I could take the chicken out, and I'm still left with chicken soup, okay? That's yavesh giving tam from itself. What about lach? Let's say I have treif milk that falls into kosher orange juice.
That's a lach.
What?
That is
oh, okay. So, not gonna, we'll talk about that after, because there's lots to talk about by that. The time didn't go into, it gets absorbed in, definitely gets dissolved in. But that nekuda, there's a lot to talk about with that, but maybe after. I think that if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, and, okay, I don't want to take up the time now to talk about it, but that's a very good question, and we could, there's, let's say, three or four ways of understanding this Bach and Shach, Machlokas, and part of it could depend on that. Okay? But we'll do that after. But let's talk about lach. Treif milk and kosher orange juice, right? So now, Let's say I don't have a shir bittel. I don't have 60 times the arishus connected to my milk, my treif milk, right? But let's say I put it in a centrifuge, and I mix it all up, and now I separate the milk from the orange juice. And now I could take the milk off, because I could centrifuge it out, right? Now, what do you say, can I drink the orange juice? So the Imri Baruch and Moshe and others would say yes, because the milk didn't give tam into the orange juice. The tam milk in the orange juice was the milk itself. The mamash of the milk is the tam. It's not a separate thing. It's not like the chicken gives off its own tam, and I can take the chicken out, and I'm still left with chicken soup. Here, when the milk falls into the orange juice, the tam milk in the orange juice is the milk. If I could somehow, some way, remove that milk, I've removed the tam as well. So if I could centrifuge the orange juice out, separate the milk and the orange juice, I've already separated not only the milk, but the tam of the milk out. Because the tam of a lach and the lach itself are one and the same. You're looking at me like, you're not into this.
Because I could feel like I could come up with various scenarios where that's not true if you're dealing with, like, milk. If you add milk into a soup, it becomes creamy or not. Even if you get the milk out, the tam is still there.
Even if you centrifuge it out?
Yes.
That means you have an out. Or
So we're saying, can you or can't you take it out? Okay, we'll talk about it more after. What you're saying is, Rav Moshe is going to use that svara and a different thing to measure the milk you started with, measure the milk you left, and then you can see how much you got out.
Right.
So that's the svar that's offered here as a teretz to answer the bach. Because I don't have shishim. But there's still tam chelov in it. No, but if I hold chelov zalach, okay, let's give them that, right? Then, once I've taken out, through this gimmick, I've taken out the chelov, I've already taken out the tam. Okay? That's the yishuv for the bach. And the shach still says there's still tam in there. Okay? So, you know, we could discuss more about this. What's the status of chelov? It starts out as a solid, then it becomes a liquid. You know, how do we work that? I mean, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks it's a whole mistake, by the way. Just Derech Agav. He thinks that no one really argues with each other. And everyone's on the Sefer of Ches Lam and Beis, and some read it as chelov, some read it as cholov. So they're not really arguing with each other. They're just, like, talking, like, not on the same wavelength. Like, everyone agrees that it's a real lach, everyone agrees you can take it out. And those who argue, they read it as chelov, not cholov. And the people who said take it out read it as cholov, not chelov. Okay. So he just thinks that they're all just talking around each other. Okay. That's an aside. Okay, so that was one discussion about, can I do something to take out the iser? Is that considered nikkur iser or not? So we had the Ramah, we had the Sefer HaSufos, and then we had this further machlokas between the Bach and the Shach, as to the nuts and bolts of that. It definitely applies if I have shishim as a chumrah, you have to take it out. Does it apply even as a kula if I don't have shishim to be matter it? That's the machlokas we said before. Okay? There is a halacha that, okay, another category, okay? Is the following considered nikkur iser or not? Let's say I have a kli that has a bliya of treif in it, okay? A spoon. Has a bleed of treif in it. Gets mixed up with my other spoons. Can't identify them. They all look the same. So, what's the halacha there? The Rashba says it's a bottle barov. Okay? It's bottle barov. And the Ra'ah argues. Ra'ah says it's not bottle barov. Why is it not bottle barov? Says the Ra'ah. You know why? Nikr ha'isr. Well, it has a nikr. I can't taste it. Because you could do hagala. You could do something to extricate, to get that isr out. If I could do something to get the Yisr out, then if I use the spoon, that's like it's nicker, because I'm not, you know, I can take it out, so it's still kind of nicker, because you could do something to get it out. So the Ramah is pushing the envelope even farther. The Ra'ah and the Berak HaBayis, and, you know, the Torah HaBayis is the Rashba in the middle, and it's the Torah HaBayis, and then the Berak HaBayis is the Ra'ah HaOriz, and the Mishmer HaBayis is the Rashba's defense. So the Berak HaBayis of the Ra'ah, he says that's considered like a Nikar Ha'eser, because he could get it out. A similar type of a thing. He's pushing the envelope a little bit more, and the Rashba argues. The Rashba doesn't hold that that's Nikar Ha'eser. That's too much. That's not Nikar. Because I could do Hagola and get it out, I can't see it, you know, after, you know, Ben Yoma's not even giving me time, like, or the fact that I could maybe taste it, that's not gonna be Nikar Ha'eser according to the Rashba, but it will according to the Ra'ah. Now we did see a Mishnah in Me'ilah, I believe it was, which possibly could be a riot for the Ra'ah. Because that Mishnah talks about a pruta of hektesh, which gets mixed up into a guy's wallet, holds all their money. He can't identify which one is the hektesh or not. So it's a whole machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. When are you moal? Fine. Whatever they hold, are you moal when you spend the first coin or the last coin? But why? You're misappropriating hektesh. You're over the iser of using hektesh for your own needs. So, whichever one you hold, like, I don't care whether it's the first or the last, but they're holding that it's not batel. Why isn't it batel? I have a whole bunch of coins there, and one hektesh coin falls in. Why isn't it batel? A ma'al, generally a carbon me'ilo gets associated with me, you know, with ma'al. Guy's going to bring a carbon for this. So, why isn't it batel? So the Mefarshim on the Mishnayis is in me'ilo vavav, so they have different ma'alchim, and it's going to revolve around the same issue. The Boaz, healers, it's a meal of the Rabbanon. Really, it is batel. This is a din de Rabbanon. It didn't really mean the eel, like bring a carbon. Of course, it's batel v'rov. But the Tosfos Chadashim points out that no, it's deraisa. You know why? Because it's nikar ha'iser. How's it nikar? Because you could be poyed at the hektish. I could undo the hektish. If I could undo the hektish, the fact that I'm not undoing it, it's like it's nikar. It's a much more expansive view of Nikar Ha'isr. Chadoshim, on the side of the page, one of the commentaries on the Mishnah. He says that since you could be poida the hektish off of that coin, wherever it is swimming around in your wallet, so if you don't do that, it's like it's Nikar. Meaning, again, pushing the envelope of Nikar Ha'isr far beyond what we would have thought of seeing it, right? This is like, you know, a world away from that.
This is even further
than the Chelev case. Right. I can do something to see it. Right. This is extending it even. I can't even see it. And this, Tosfos Chadashim, it's a halachic halos shem of hektesh. That's going to be Nikar Isser. So it's Mamash pushing the envelope of Nikar Isser very, very far. One more issue here. And that is the Placey. So the Placey says that, you know, this halacha that we spoke about, that you have to pour the cold water in and then you make the fat come to the top? Well, that only applies if you're not going to ruin your food. If pouring the cold water in is going to make the ma'achal be miskalkel, it's going to ruin the food in some way, you don't have to do it. Potter for pouring the cold water in. What's my raya? My raya is from a concept of davar sheyesh l'matirin, that if, once again, if I have a fork that has a blea of treif and it gets all mixed up in things, right? So there's a halacha that says that, in general, that if something could be mutter later, you can't eat it now. If, let's say, something is muksa falls in, don't have it on yontif, don't rely on the bittul now, you can have it after yontif. So why don't I say, Rashba says, should I apply that here? Don't take bittul v'rov on my fork or spoon, kasher it. I have a way to not rely on bittul. Rashba says no, because that would require effort, and that would require tircha and money. So there's no halacha you have to put effort and money to undo bittul, to not rely on bittul. So the Placey says, well, the same way over there, that when that dover of treif gets mixed in, that fork with the blea of treif gets mixed into all the other forks, I say, if it's going to cause tircha or kilkel or something like that, I don't have to do it. So to here. If this treif of blea, this chela falls in, and it's going to cause the ma'achal to be miskalkel or something like that, I should also be absolved. I shouldn't be mechuyev to do it. I should be absolved from this chiyuv of pouring the cold water in. Same thing, he says, right? there, treif tam goes in, machal miskalkel, forget about it, rely on rov. So through here, treif chela falls in, I can undo it, right? He's equating pouring the cold water in to the hagala by the kalim. And the same way by the hagala by kalim, you don't have to do if it's going to be a tircha. So too here, you don't have to pour the cold water in if it's going to be a tircha. Ka'amar ha-plesi. That's what the plesi says. Okay?
So he's equating the food to the miskalkel in the chevet case to be adding a tircha?
But if the food will be miskalkel, so the same way by davar she'yesh lo matir, and if it's going to be miskalkel there too, any type of a kilkol or even money, something like that, you're potter from doing it there. So he applies that. This is worse. If you get money, you're going to ruin your whole food. He says, it's a kal v'chomer.
Yeah, it's not going to be much worse.
What?
I think it's not like such a...
It's even better, meaning the miskalkel is going to be even worse than just spending money. Yeah. If I don't have to spend a couple of bucks to do hagala, because that's too much of a tircha, then ruining my whole food, my whole supper, that's certainly...
You put it in the fridge. Right? That's the cheapest way.
Huh?
The plate would hold, since you can put it in the fridge, then you have to do that.
Yeah, but the place is saying, putting it in the fridge is going to make it ruined.
No. You're not going to ruin it. Just the fat on the top.
No, if it is a type of food, that would be ruined if you would cool it down, you know, it's going to become soggy and cooky and those fries are going to just taste terrible now and no one's going to want to eat them. So then you're not required to do it. Only, you're right, the place would say, if it's not going to ruin the food, then you have to do it. But if you are going to ruin the food, then you don't have to. And the Prima Gadim and the Aruch HaShulchan go to town on this place. They say, whoa, you cannot compare these two things at all. Why? Davar she'yesh lo matirin, please. That's a din d'rabbanon. The Rabbanon imposed this chumrah that don't rely on bittul today if you could get out of it tomorrow. Right? But this is nikkur iser. This is a din d'raisa. A din d'raisa, it's nikkur. It's not a tarovis. It's treif. So, I don't care that my apple is going to be miskalkel. You can't eat treif. You can't say, oh, if the magal is going to be miskalkel, so is it hetter to eat treif? Chas v'sholom. They say, you can't compare these two areas of halacha at all. The Aruch HaShulchan and the Prima Gadim are asking this on the Plesi. Right? They're saying, you Plesi can't, you're comparing two totally different areas of halacha. Dovish ish matirin, you know, okay, if it's too hard to kasha the kelim or lion bittel, that's a din d'rabbanon to not, you know, to say, you know, don't rely on the bittel today, just kasher it, right? So they didn't employ that din d'rabbanon where it's going to be a tircha. But this, nikar ha'isr, this is a din d'raisa. So, take a step back. How are they learning it? What's the Plesi and the Aruch HaShulchan's different viewpoints of nikar ha'isr? Right, but first, correct. First, you could either say that one is viewing Nikaris as a din d'raisa, and one is viewing Nikaris as a din d'rabbanon, ayin sham, that levosh and that taz. Or you could also say that they could maybe all agree that Nikaris is a din d'raisa, but is this considered Nikar ha'iser? Is this considered Nikaris? I don't see it. Right? I could do something to turn it into visible. So it could be that the place he says, that's not Nikar ha'iser. Okay, mitzvah, it's a meritorious thing to do, like the Sefer, but that's not nikkur iser, as opposed to the Aruch HaShulchan and Prima Gadim, they view that, no, that's real nikkur. If I could do something to make it nikkur, they're viewing that as nikkur iser deraisa. So you see two different viewpoints as to how to even view what nikkur iser is on our scale of what is considered nikkur iser. So the Kitzur Nimrutz, we have the, on one hand, you know, the most extreme on one side, the Sefer HaSufo saying, well, if something is clearly nikkur, so you have even the Levush who wants to claim that's the Rabbana. Okay, you don't want to go that far. You say that's the Raisa. But let's say it's something I can make nikkur, right? So then the Sefer HaSufos would say that's still only a chumrah, a meritorious practice, right? Perhaps the Plesi learns that way as well, right? And then you have the others, may Pashas HaLashon of the Ramah, Aruch HaShulchan, Prima Gadim, they're learning, no, if I can make it nikkur, that's a deraisa. And then, let's take it one more step, right? Let's say it's not even a, you know, let's say it's a Ra'ah. You know, doing, I'm not going to say it's batal, because that's nikkur, right? It's not even a thing I could see. Doing Hagol doesn't even allow me to see it. It's just, I know it's gone. It's a bliya, right? The Ra'al says that's Nikra Isser, right? Take it one step further even. The Tosfos HaKadoshim on Me'ilah, he holds Me'ilah. It's a halachic kalos shame, a kedusha. It's not even tangible, right? Less than a bliya. He holds that's even Nikra Isser against the Boaz, who holds that that's not Nikra Isser, and the mission must be a Dinder Rabbanan. You see a whole range of what's considered Nikr, and is Nikr the rest of the Rabbanan. Okay? That was...